Hey, Patrick, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm sure that a lot of the people know about the non-negotiables for Catholics in voting in the upcoming election, but what my question is, are you morally culpable if you write in for somebody or a candidate who shares those non-negotiables but has no real chance of winning and affecting the change that we need or that we continue to want to have happen?
This is a question that my wife and I have spent a lot of time talking about and praying about, for that matter, because we're faced with that very situation now, or at least many people perceive it that way. And the question is, if I can restate it, is, are you doing anything wrong by voting for a non-viable candidate so that you don't find yourself in the morally precarious position of voting for one candidate or the other, if you regard both to be deficient, sufficiently deficient, that you could not in good conscience vote for either one of them? Would that be a fair way of restating your question?
That is a very fair way, yes.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, this is a perplexing question. The Catholic Answers Non-Negotiables, they published a book back in, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago. And they list them as follows: abortion, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research, human cloning, and gay marriage. Now, this was actually issued before Obergefell versus Hodges, whatever it's called, the Supreme Court decision legalizing same-sex marriage some years ago. So this was issued before that. And so as a political guide, they were saying on moral issues, these are the five things that you can't back down from. The purpose of their booklet was to say to the voter, if you are voting for a candidate who supports abortion, then you're conceding something that should be non-negotiable, that we should always and everywhere stand up for human life, unborn human life. Well, all human life, but unborn human life, especially in this case. If you support a candidate who endorses or at least would be okay with euthanasia, the intentional killing of an innocent person simply to put that person out of their pain or something like that, like putting down an animal, that's listed there. Embryonic stem cell research refers to, typically, it's going to refer to using embryos, human embryos that are aborted for the purpose of gaining stem cells for things like vaccines and such. Human cloning, I mean, that's a pretty much a no-brainer. Actually trying to create new replicas of somebody based upon their DNA. And lastly, gay marriage. We don't need to say anything about that because everybody knows about that. And that has already been legalized by the Supreme Court. So when you're faced with an election like the one that we're in, what do? Especially when one candidate, in this case, Joe Biden, his party platform is for, with the exception perhaps of human cloning, as far as I'm aware, I don't remember human cloning being mentioned as something as part of the party plank or a plank in the party platform. But as far as I'm aware, he's the candidate running for the party that is fine, in fact, really enthusiastic about all of these things. Donald Trump, at least on paper anyway, seems to not be in favor of these things. So then people say, all right, well, in that case, what about other life issues? What about immigrants? What about poverty? What about people who are going hungry and are malnourished in this country? What about the death penalty? Some people will bring up. And there are other things. Aren't those life issues as well? And they are. They are indeed. The U.S. Bishops' Conference, however, keeps reminding us that the preeminent issue above all the others is the right to life, because if you don't have that right safeguarded, then none of the other rights really matter. Your right to have an education, your right to have health care, your right to not be poor if you work and try to strive for something better, all those rights go away. They're not even in existence if you don't have the right to live. So it's a tricky situation. And what I can tell you in summary is that if in conscience you realize that in order to defeat a given candidate in whatever given election it may be, for whatever office, if in order to prevent something worse from happening, you cast a vote in favor of the lesser of two evils, and how I hate that phrase, but I can't think of a better one, then you're not doing anything immoral. If you have an informed conscience and you have carefully sifted through the issues, you pay attention to the church's teaching on this issue, you listen to the bishops, you've made every honest effort to have an informed conscience. And in your conscience, you realize if I vote for a candidate in whatever election that might be, and that candidate is doing tremendous damage or will do tremendous damage, then in good conscience, you would say, I can't vote for that candidate. So then in good conscience, you could choose the other candidate, even though maybe you don't like that other candidate for whatever office, for whatever election. And then the third option would be to vote for the candidate that's abhorrent, in which case you'd say in conscience, I can't do that. The second possibility would be to vote for the quote-unquote lesser of two evils. And that, of course, is a matter of subjective interpretation. And the third option would be to vote for a non-viable candidate who has no chance of winning if, in conscience, you feel as though that you cannot, in good faith, vote for either of the two major contenders. If you feel that voting for either one would violate your conscience, then you have the freedom to choose a candidate who is not either one of those, but has no chance of winning. Now, people would say, well, that's throwing your vote away. You know, sometimes these situations become so difficult that you do the best you can. Now, the fourth option is to not vote at all, and I don't advise that. I encourage you. I will vote, and I encourage everybody else to vote and to pray and really think about these issues and study them and form your conscience. Listen to Father Rocky's 10-minute Form Your Conscience, How to Form Your Conscience audio that those of you who made your pledge during this last pledge drive received as a digital download. It's still available, so if you get in touch with us, we'll figure out a way to get that to you. But do your diligence, do your due diligence, and be prepared so that when you go into the ballot room, the voting place, or whether you're voting by mail or whatever, however you're going to vote. Don't vote twice, by the way. Don't vote twice. That's illegal. I'll get you in trouble. But when you vote, be prepared and have prayed and really searched for the answer, and then obey your conscience. Remember that your conscience is not what do you want to do. Some people confuse their conscience with that. When you hear, well, I have to follow my conscience. Yeah, many people, they don't really form their conscience and they just go in the direction that they feel a tug emotionally, or they want to be in the in crowd. That's not your conscience. Your conscience is what's going to tell you this is wrong or this is right. Go thou and do likewise.